Serious news, seriously entertaining. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy, happy, happy Thursday. I'm Gatos. Chad is out. Be back next week. Barry Markson is in.
Hello.
Hello, Barry. So, you know, I'm glad you're in today. And I know we spoke a little yesterday when the big news broke about Arizona just turning the clock back 121
years. 121
years. So we had AZ Mark Brnovich, AG, excuse me, Mark Brnovich, says the 1901 Arizona law that completely bans abortion except to save the life of the mother is now the current law in Arizona. So, you know, we know what happened with Roe v. Wade. We knew that states would have to figure out where they stood. I thought for a while, well, maybe it was that 15-week thing that, you know, legislature put through and Ducey passed it. And that thing is gone. It's like it never happened. So that is gone. That 15-week thing you heard about is am I wrong?
Well, that's what Brnovich is saying. So, I mean, first of all, the thing to remember is, you know, an opinion from the Attorney General's office on a legal question obviously carries some weight, and you want to pay attention to it. But the issue is going to be decided by the courts. A judge is going to decide it. It's likely it may get up to the Supreme Court here in Arizona. So somebody may sue and either try to get an injunction on if they're going to revert back to the old law. And there are many lawyers and former judges who believe that when you pass this new law, even if it doesn't say I'm repealing the old law, it basically does. So
what does that mean in English for me?
It means that there are some people who believe that SB 1164, the law that was passed in April.
With the 15-week
that would go into effect in 90 days.
Earlier. Okay.
That normally that law would automatically repeal the 1901 law, even if it doesn't say it's going to repeal it.
Well, that would make sense.
The difference here is SB 1164, the new law, the 15-week law.
15 weeks.
Actually has language in it that says this law does not repeal the old law. So it's saying that. So it can come down to interpretation. It depends on how it's written. I mean, on its face, that's what it says. So it's what Brnovich said. I don't think it's necessarily incorrect. I think they did the analysis and it may well be the right answer, but it'll end up in the courts at some point to get it worked out.
But here's the thing, Barry, when are they going to figure this out? Because like if nobody really knows what the law is just because Brnovich came out. I mean, that's for me, that's probably the best guess that, okay, probably is Brnovich right? I don't know. I don't trust these politicians. I don't know if he's saying what he's saying because he's running for office, not because he's the Attorney General of the United of Arizona. So I don't really know. Do I trust him? Because I heard county attorney, the
Rachel Mitchell,
and then I heard, you know, other county attorneys who want the job as county attorney. They said something else. So everybody's saying something different. So I really don't know what to believe. Yeah. But you've got to iron this thing out. People have to know what the law is.
It's going to get worked out. Look, the fact is, right now there's an injunction in place that was put in place in 1973 after Roe v. Wade became law, and that stops the enforcement of the old law anyway. So officially in Arizona right now, our law is, I believe, the same as it was 3 weeks ago, before the new decision on overturning Roe v. Wade. But
what does that mean?
It means that nothing's changed yet because there was an injunction.
So are you saying abortion is legal in Arizona?
I think right now it is because the 15-week law is not in effect yet. It doesn't go into effect for 90 days until 90 days from June 27th.
Okay.
The 1901 law, there's an injunction in place, which means that law is blocked from being enforced or anything happening to it. That was put in place in 1973. That injunction's still there. The Attorney General said he's going to move to vacate it, but right now it's still there. So officially right now, the law in Arizona hasn't changed from what it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. But the practical effect, Gatos, because people are saying that the 1901 law is in place and it's criminal now to perform. I mean, it's literally a felony for a doctor to perform an abortion. The practical effect of it is nobody's doing abortions.
So nobody in Arizona.
Because they're afraid. If you're a doctor, you're going to put not even just your license at risk. You're going to put your freedom at risk. You're going to be arrested and put in prison. So no one's going to do that. So that's the effect. So, you know, they could go to the courts early. They could ask for an injunction until it's determined. I mean, we'll see what happens here. I thought something would happen this week. I don't know legally. I haven't looked at it close enough to decide what to do, but I'm expecting Planned Parenthood to file something. But I'll tell you something. I think what's going to happen in pretty short order is the 1901 law is going to be the law of Arizona. The injunction will be lifted, and we will have a full ban on abortions in Arizona, except if to save the life of the mother.
And that's what the 1901 says.
Yep.
All right. KTAR.com. Take the Gatos BQ poll question of the day. It's brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. We've been talking about Brnovich says 1901, that law, banning abortion except to save the life of a mother, it is the law in Arizona. So I'm asking everybody, would you like to vote on this issue in November? 60 yes, 40% say no. I say we vote on it.
Well, and I think that's going to happen. Now, whether it happens in November, you know there's a ballot initiative that's right now trying to gather signatures.
Right.
They took it out a couple months ago when the leaked draft of the Supreme Court decision came out. Whether or not they can get the, I think it's over 300,000 signatures, whether or not they can get that by, I think it's July 7th or 8th, I don't know. That's a lot of signatures to get in a short amount of time.
You got all these Arizona businesses that are out there that are saying, come by and sign the petition. I went and signed it because I want to vote. And you know what? There were people who were pro-choice in front of me. There were people who were pro-choice in back of me.
Yep.
Everybody should want to vote on this.
Yeah.
We should not let a 1901 law stand. That's from 121 years ago. Let's do our own thing. What do you want in the state of Arizona? You should go and be able to vote for this. It should be on the ballot, and hopefully it is, and hopefully they'll do it the right way. Listen, if Arizona speaks and it goes one way or the other, I'm fine with it. What I'm not fine is with, you know, just going back 121 years and saying, well, let's just grab that one. That's... Come on, it's 2022. We're not going to. Why would we go backwards to a law that's from 1901?
So the question is, and I agree with you, and really what should happen, as I always say in Arizona, is the legislature should get together, Republicans, Democrats, find a compromise.
That's not happening.
It's not going to happen. No. So then that's why we have this referendum action. So you're going to be able to, the people, if it's not this year, it's going to be in 2 years, they'll be able to vote to amend the Constitution in Arizona and provide a constitutional right in Arizona for an abortion.
I think you make a good point. Maybe it doesn't happen this year. But I can't imagine it not happening when the presidential election comes by.
Right.
You know,
if they don't get enough signatures this year, they'll definitely get it before then.
Yeah.
And it gives the government an opportunity to change things.
Okay, but what if we vote on it and it goes down one way and then the legislature and the governor, whoever it is, want to change it? Because they've taken our vote.
They can't. There's laws in place in Arizona that, number one, these are constitutional amendments, and two, specifically that the legislature and the governor cannot just undo what the people have voted on through a ballot initiative, through a referendum.
They already did that with education. And with the tax.
Well, they did it through the courts. So you're right. If you go to the court, if somehow the ballot initiative is written in a way that's not legal or not constitutional on its own, that's fine. But once it passes, and if it's constitutional, if it's written well, then it becomes the law of Arizona, and the legislature then can't change it. Now, they can try to limit it. They can put in, just like we were seeing before with Roe v. Wade, but for the most part, you would have that right in Arizona.
I say we vote.
We're seeing that in other states, by the way. Florida has something in their constitution that it's a privacy right that people say applies to abortion, and we're going to see if that holds up. But that's what they've been saying.
All right. Well, we're back in 1901 now in Arizona when it comes to abortion, at least for the
you know, the other way to do it, Gatos, is just to elect new people. I mean, you want get a Democratic legislature in Arizona, get a Democratic governor, and guess what? They can change the law right now.
You could.
If enough people vote. Let me ask you this, and I know you're trying to get to a thing, but women that I speak with, Republican women, are so appalled by the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Like, they are physically upset. I've never seen anything like this before. They're very, very, very upset. I don't know if that intensity will be maintained until election day, but I've seen where before that decision came out, polls generally about do you like Republicans or Democrats were +3 Republicans, and now they're +6 Democrats. Do you think some women, Republican women or independent women, who maybe would vote Republican are really going to switch over now that this is going to become their big issue?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I've seen people upset and happy, and it really, you know, is it all from one side or the other? Not really. It's a stream of emotion throughout everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a very, very, very personal for most people.
Right. All right. Coming up next. A puppet is smarter than one of our Supreme Court justices, and we're going to prove that coming up next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Gatos and Chad Show, afternoons.
All right, Barry is in for Chad, who's vacationing. He's going to take a couple days, come back next week.
Very nice.
Barry, I don't know if you've had somebody that you know go down the rabbit hole of QAnon, and it's scary.
Yeah.
You know, we have my wife and I have a friend who went down that rabbit hole, Like, and I'm talking hard.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that she's putting on Facebook, some of the relationships that she has broken off because of her, because of what she believes now, the insanity of this QAnon garbage, you know, her kids aren't talking to her. It's really scary, and it's happened to a lot of people. We know it's probably happened, well, I'm going to say it's happened to Carrie Lake. I absolutely 100% believe she's gone down the rabbit hole. Either she's gone down the rabbit hole and she believes all this crap, or she's just a big phony. You take your pick. I really don't care. But now it seems that we've got possibly a QAnon on the Supreme Court.
On the Supreme Court? Who's that?
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas.
Listen to what he did. He has suggested that COVID vaccines are developed using cells of unborn children. Cells of aborted children. Clarence Thomas is saying the vaccines are developed using cells of aborted children. It's not. That is absolutely 100% false. And it makes you think, okay, has this guy gone down the QAnon hole? Because his wife did. His wife went down that hole. His wife was trying to call everybody here in Arizona to overturn the vote.
Right.
Okay, so she's down the hole.
Yeah, you wonder what's going on in that household now, and you'd hope a Supreme Court justice wouldn't do that. And this is scary. I mean, look, I think what happened is cells obtained from elective abortions decades ago were used during the testing of the
testing,
which is not unusual for any vaccine or other drugs.
But it's not in the vaccine that enters your body.
No, it's
like
not.
Clarence Thomas is saying.
It's really not. And the really, why is he even commenting on this? Why are we hearing from him? What happened to the days not that long ago, like a week ago, where we didn't hear from Supreme Court justices with their political views or their crazy? I mean, this guy his wife is off the deep end. She really is.
She is.
And people who try to and there's real conflict of interest stuff going on here. Like in any other judge, any other lawyer, this would be considered a conflict of interest. But the Supreme Court, each justice gets to decide their own ethics, their own conflicts. But hearing him say something like this now. Gatos, you're right. We've all experienced this with friends or family, people who are, they're reading things. They don't look at actual news. They look at this crazy stuff and they think it's real and you tell them it's not and you show them it's not and they just move on to the next conspiracy. It's scary to see a Supreme Court justice think that.
Yeah. So let me repeat. None of the COVID-19 vaccines contain the cells of aborted fetuses.
Right.
That is 100%. Okay.
It's false. It's demonstrably false. You can look it up. They show you what's in it. It's not true.
You know, I think a puppet is smarter than this guy.
You know, there's people out there right now. So, no, it is true. I read it here. You know, that's happening right now, Gatos, right?
I know.
It's scary.
Yeah.
And they'll point you to some crazy website that, you know, some other idiot wrote. And that's what they use as their source. It's crazy.
A puppet is smarter than Clarence Thomas. And I'll prove it.
You were super duper today, getting your COVID vaccine, Elmo.
Yeah, there was a little pinch, but it was okay.
Even Elmo got the vaccine. Is that Elmo's father? Even Elmo's father gave little Elmo the vaccine. And you don't hear Elmo's father saying, listen, I just put a whole bunch of aborted fetuses inside of my child.
Well, actually, Elmo's dad was a little concerned.
I had a lot of questions about Elmo getting the COVID vaccine. Was it safe? Was it the right decision?
Yeah.
I talked to our pediatrician so I could make the right choice. I learned that Elmo getting vaccinated is the best way to keep himself, our friends, neighbors, and everyone else healthy and enjoying the things they love.
I didn't know the puppets had pediatricians. That's interesting.
I didn't know that a puppet needed a vaccine.
By the way, you want to know the most interesting thing of that? Is Ted Cruz is having a fight with Elmo and his dad.
Oh, jeez.
Because Ted Cruz is upset that Elmo is saying, I got the vaccine. Ted Cruz. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Do you think all the 3-year-olds watching understood the word pediatrician? The word of the day is...
Oh,
I bet the 3-year-olds are like, I don't want a pinch. Don't give me that shot.
It's just scary where we are right now.
Yeah.
It's just scary.
This is the world we live in. We've got a puppet that has a vaccine in it, and we've got a United States Supreme Court justice that thinks that aborted fetuses are part of the vaccine. That's the world we live in.
Here's what's really scary is that we have a Supreme Court justice who is literally saying things that aren't true, that are demonstrably false. He's spreading conspiracy theories. A Supreme Court justice is doing that.
That's amazing.
Where are we right now?
They are supposed to know everything. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yeah.
They're supposed to know what is fact and what isn't.
Well,
and the possibility that, well, the fact is he thinks what he thinks, and so does his wife, who's nuts.
But we shouldn't know what he thinks about that.
I know, man.
Supreme Court justice, we don't hear from them on these things. We never do now. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Coming up next, Becky Lynn has a 3:30 newscast.
Oh.
But every day at 3:30, we like to interrupt it and react to the stories that she's talking about. We call it holding up the headlines. Next.
Arizona's news station. KTAR on air, 92.3 FM, online at KTAR.com, and streaming live on the KTAR News app. Your breaking news and traffic now.
It's 3:29. I'm Becky Lynn. Here's our top story.
Arizona votes.
The four remaining candidates in the Republican governor's race met in the Clean Elections Arizona PBS Governor's Forum last night, and much of it centered around Carrie Lake and Karen Taylor Robeson taking shots at each other. At the start, Robeson went directly at Lake, the former TV news anchor.
We need a leader with a record of accomplishment, not a career talker with a teleprompter.
Lake directed some of her closing thoughts on Robeson.
And there's a reason President Trump calls Karen Robeson a rhino. The fact is, that's what she is.
And abortion was a big debate topic last night. Early ballots will be shipped out starting Wednesday. Primary day is August the 2nd.
Holding up the headlines. Becky Lynn reads the news while Gatos and Chad interrupt and react to the day's top stories.
It was a joke. It was the whole thing yesterday was a joke. I mean, you couldn't understand what anyone was saying. They kept talking over each other. And this is what these debates are like. Remember the one, Barry, with Trump and Biden, how bad that one was?
Yeah, it's really bad. And this was all Republicans. And I have to tell you, I think it just made them all look, it's Kerry and Karen at this point, but it made them both look bad. And they're both trying to look tough and look like they can stand up for themselves. And it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for all of them. And we didn't even get a lot of really good information on them.
No, you know, Ted Simons did the best that he could. And, you know, if someone is just absolutely 100% going to talk over you, you're not going to be able to stop them unless you cut your microphone off.
Yeah.
And so I think they cut the mics towards the end. But, you know, did anybody get anything out of it? No. I think people are like, okay, I like this one. I like this one. I think most people were ready to go and vote. I know it's 30 days away. We're holding up the headlines. Becky Lynn, what do you got next?
He does not represent Arizona's values, so he has no business representing us.
Arizona Democrats now coming out against Attorney General Mark Brnovich after he claimed abortion is now illegal in Arizona. KTAR's Luke Forstner is live in the news center with more on what they're saying.
Well, Becky Lynn, Arizona State Senate Democratic Leader Rebecca Rio says the majority of Arizonans support access to safe and legal abortion and oppose the overturning of Roe v. Wade, which is supported by recent polls. She suggests Attorney General Brnovich and other Republicans are just looking to score political points.
Anti-choice Republicans pose an existential threat. Time and again, they prioritize their radical, extremist agenda over actually serving Arizonans.
Rio urges Arizonans to vote for Democrats to ensure access to abortions in Arizona. Live from the news center, Luke Forstner, KTAR News.
You know whose voice I never hear? An Arizona Democrat. They never come out and talk from the legislature, ever. I almost never hear them. Am I wrong? It's always the same Republicans that come out and speak, and it's like, Where are the Democrats in Arizona? Where were you last week talking about Roe v. Wade? I didn't hear any of you.
I think they're out there talking. I do see them out there. But it's the problem is the Republicans control the legislature. So when you're talking about what's going to get done, you talk to the Republicans. But I have to say, you know, with Brnovich here, whether you agree with the opinion that the attorney general's office issued or not, I don't know that this is a political thing. I think it's the attorney general's office trying to interpret the current state of different statutes in Arizona.
Yeah,
you may not like what he said.
But do you trust a guy who's running for Senate?
Yeah.
I mean, make the opinion because he's running for Senate, or did he make the opinion because it was the right thing to do?
It's a shame.
As AG, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a shame it's come to this, because Mark Brnovich for 7 years was the guy who said, I'm not here to make laws, I'm here to enforce the law, and I think everything that came out of the office was legit. And I'm not saying this isn't. I think it is. But I understand now, because he's been running for Senate for a year, the impression is there's a lot of politics that's been put into the office. And that's it's unfortunate, because we need a real attorney general. But like I said, I want to make sure it's clear. The courts are going to decide this issue. What Brnovich said here is not binding on anybody.
It's an opinion.
It's an opinion. It doesn't do anything else.
We're holding up the headlines.
Arizona's immigration crisis.
The Supreme Court making more waves this week, this time regarding immigration law. In a 5-4 decision, the High Court ruled President Biden can end the Trump administration's so-called Remain in Mexico policy. That 2019 law redirected thousands of immigrants from other countries to Mexico while they applied for asylum. And one of Arizona's U.S. senators says the Supreme Court's ruling is, quote, important for the future of immigration. KTAR's Taylor Tassler is live in the news center with more.
Yeah, Becky, U.S. Senator Mark Kelly explains the decision highlights the need for a safe, humane, and orderly asylum process. Kelly adds that hasn't always been the case, and Arizona needs a process that works.
Border security is incredibly important. The Department of Homeland Security needs to have a plan in how do you handle a large number of migrants.
Kelly says he's working to make sure Border Patrol and Homeland Security have the resources they need to adequately do the job. Reporting live in the news center, Taylor Tassler, KTAR News.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the legality of all that stuff that the Supreme Court went and talked about and made a decision. You're better at that, Barry. You're a lawyer. But as an Arizonan, I think, and as a guy who knows that the border is a total mess, I think that we should have kept this. Remain in Mexico was a good Trump policy. Wasn't perfect. But it helped stop people from pouring into the United States. We could hear their asylum stories. They could stay in Mexico. It helped our border. It helped the Border Patrol. If I were the president, I'd still be doing this, remain in Mexico. But Biden doesn't care about the border.
Yeah.
I guess the Supreme Court doesn't either.
He's struggling with some folks on his left, I think. I'm a little surprised by it. And, you know, Willie, all you need to see is Mark Kelly, a Democrat, is running for, you know, he's up for election this year. Mm-hmm. And he's moving himself away from the Biden border policy.
Yeah. We're holding up the headlines.
Have you had longer than normal flight delays recently? Well, Arizona's Airports Association President Matthew Smith says we're in a long coming pilot shortage. He explains the pilot shortage has made it harder to schedule new flights.
All the airlines pulled out and I'm trying to get them to come back in. And the airlines flat out told me, like, hey, you know, you're a great airport. We believe that it could work, but we just don't have the resources.
His airport is the Grand Canyon National Park Airport. Smith says the shortage is going to get worse from the bottom up. Flight schools and small airports need pilots now.
So we got a shortage of teachers, shortage of Border Patrol agents, shortage of police officers, and now a shortage of pilots. Oh, that's right. And a shortage of all workers across the country.
Yeah.
No one wants to work, or we can't find anybody to work. It's really incredible.
It's amazing. And I was saying, my wife and I were out last couple weekends, and every store, every business we went into had a sign up listing all the jobs they're hiring for, which is almost every job. There are so many jobs out there that aren't filled right now. And again, I know the economy's struggling. We have inflation. I keep looking up, though, and everybody's working. Everybody who wants a job has a job.
Or can get one.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I don't get it, but this pilot thing is going to be a problem, and you don't fix it overnight. It takes years to get more pilots in the pipeline.
Well, a lot of the pilots that retired because of COVID.
Yep.
They're trying to bring back. Remember, they paid them off to leave.
Right. You have to pay them a lot of money to come back.
Yeah.
They're set to go.
All right. Becky Lynn reads the news at 3:30. We hold up the headlines. What do you got?
Well, here's somebody who's still on the job and still in the air. American Airlines flight attendant Betty Nash celebrated 60 years on the job today, making her the world's most senior working flight attendant. Nash has been flying up and down the East Coast since she started with Eastern Airlines before it became American Airlines. And passengers cheered her when the flight crew announced today's record-breaking run from Boston to New York.
You are on board a very special flight this morning, and today you are flying with Miss Betty Nash. She is the most senior flight attendant in the world, and today we are celebrating 60 years with American Airlines.
And it doesn't appear that she plans on retiring anytime soon.
So how old is she?
Well, it doesn't say how old she is, but she's been a flight attendant for 60 years.
So she's got to be at least 70, right?
She's got to be at least 80, I would say.
Becky Lynn, I'm just going to say this, right? 80 years old. There's two things I don't want. I don't want an 80-year-old giving me a cocktail on a plane or to be president of the United States. So there's two things I don't want, Becky Lynn.
And last but not least, if you don't want to fly, you can drive. Arizona statewide average at the gas pump is $5.22. AAA says that's 12 cents cheaper than last Thursday.
Oh.
Valley average, 541, 20 cents cheaper than a week ago. The statewide diesel average down 7 cents from last week to 586 a gallon.
Gatos, look at Biden, man. He's taking care of the gas prices, down 12 cents.
That's hot garbage. You know, it really is amazing. When I do pass all these gas stations, I still have to do a double take when I look at the prices.
Oh, it's incredible.
I still do a double take, and I go, gosh, that's really the price.
That's what it was like when I used to, you know, we'd go to California sometimes for a trip in the past. Yeah. And this is what the prices were like there. And the same thing, you're just going, oh, my goodness, look at this. And now I can't even imagine what California signs say, right? They have to be in the $7 range.
They deserve it. They're, you know.
They deserve it.
But I think I heard on KTAR and ABC News that a year ago it was $3.11, something like that. Yeah. It was like $3 for gas.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It is. So what is it? $5.41?
No, 523.
541 in the valley.
Oh, yeah. Valley.
But that's down 20 cents from last week.
Wow, right. Down 20 cents, Gatos.
That's not bad. It's something.
You fill up, that's like, let me do the math, it's like $4. It's like $4.
We're holding up the headlines.
$4 is $4.
Every day at 3:30, Becky Lynn, she does her job better than anybody. She, you know, delivers you the news. Except, at that moment, we hold up the headlines as we interrupt and react to the day's top stories. All right, coming up next, America is stressed out. But are you more stressed out today than you were when the pandemic hit?
Oh.
That's a question we'll talk about at the Gatos and Chad Show.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Serious news, seriously entertaining. The Gatos and Chad Show.
Hey, coming up at 4... Next time you go to a concert, you're going to be lectured about abortion.
What?
Isn't that fun?
Is it in like sing-along style?
Just wait.
That would be good.
This is a mess. We'll talk about that story.
You sound stressed.
Hey, there's an interesting study about stress. And, you know, I wonder, are folks more stressed out today than they were at the start of the pandemic? Because, like, I'll be quite honest with you. I mean, at the start of the pandemic, I haven't been that stressed out in a while. Because I I'm a hypochondriac. I always think, you know, people who say, you're not really a hypochondriac. Believe me, I don't like living like this, but I always think I'm dying. I don't say that to be funny. The worst thing that could happen to a hypochondriac is a pandemic. Okay? Because especially at the beginning, you didn't know what to touch. Can you breathe near me? It was a mess.
You're wiping down the groceries, for goodness sake.
I wiped down a banana, didn't I, Becky Lynn? I wiped it down. Okay.
And that was after you opened the banana.
No. So there's a new study, and it talks about how people are stressed. Because obviously today, there's a lot to be stressed about. You know, we've got inflation. We've got the craziness with Russia. We've got a bad president. We've got a former president who now looks pretty much like a crook from January 6th. So there's a little bit of everything going on. But, you know, how stressed are you today compared to 20?
All right, so let me ask you. You just said when the pandemic hit, that was like a super high level of stress for you. Are you more or less stressed today?
Way less stressed.
Way less.
Even though I think the world is in a bad place, and America's not in a good place either.
It doesn't hit you the same way, because that was the health stuff, and the hypochondriac stuff kicks in and all that.
I think for me, a lot of things that concern me and worry me is about health.
Yeah.
And so that was a tough one to swallow at the very beginning.
You had a thing when the vaccines came. I mean, you could see the difference in you.
Yeah.
And you made a decision. You used to talk about it all the time. You'd say, I've decided I have to get past it, and I'm just going to go live my life. And you did it. You got the vaccine, and you just said, I'm going to go do my thing.
Yeah, my wife and I never hid in the house because she couldn't do it. So I had to I had to go with what she wanted to do. That's the only way we can get along. Because I probably would have just hunkered down.
Yeah. You'd do that anyway.
But,
you know,
in 2020, we took two or three flights just because I had to get out of this job and out of talking about death every day.
Right.
But so for me, it was the beginning of the pandemic. But I mean, imagine people today. You go to the grocery store, you could have a panic attack right there.
I think that most people today are doing okay. And if you're working and you own a house, or you have a place with stable rent, the higher prices of gas and food stink, but I think they're generally okay. But I do think there's a large amount of people who are where their rent is, they're either get kicked out of their place or rent is going up a lot, or they were living paycheck to paycheck and now they can't even do that anymore. I think there's a lot of people living with that kind of stress. And Gatos, I think for a lot of folks, that's worse. I mean, if you're worried about where your next meal is coming from, or if you're going to get kicked out onto the street in 115 degree weather,
brutal,
that's going to provide a lot of stress. But I don't think that's a large percentage of folks, at least here in the Valley.
Yeah.
But I definitely think there are some folks who are going to have a lot of stress right now.
Yeah. For some people, inflation and high gas prices is an annoyance.
Yeah.
And then you're right. For other people,
it's life and death.
It's am I going to eat today?
Yeah.
Or am I going to put, four gallons in my gas tank?
Yeah.
So it is different, you know, for everybody. But I think when you go through, all these things of worry, what worries people the most, you know, in 2020, we had this, this virus that, snuck out of China. And of course, we've seen what happened over the last few years. But then there's, I think this year we've had more problems than any year. They're big issues too.
But a lot of it are issues, as you said. It's annoyance, it's stressful, but it's things people can survive. I think the stress level for the pandemic, and it was really felt more back east than here. If you remember what happened in New York and New Jersey when they got it right away. Nobody knew what was happening.
Right.
And people are just dying. They're putting them in freezer cars just full of bodies.
Yeah.
And we're all like, what's happening? Those folks back east, there's a lot of people there who are still stressed about
it. They're still traumatized.
Still they have their vaccinated. They wear a mask everywhere they go. They still don't want to go out. It traumatized them and really still to this day affects them. I think the stress from that was much higher.
Yeah, and we're lucky to live out here because, even during the worst of the pandemic, you could go out and take a walk.
Yeah.
You weren't packed on New York City streets.
Yeah.
You could go and take a hike.
I think, you can critique Governor Ducey. He gets it from both sides and how he handled the pandemic. And there's a lot of things he did I don't agree with. But I will say we never got into this mindset where you can't leave the house. You're going to leave a year later.
And that's the worst thing you could
have.
That's
to wear
what California
a mask everywhere.
Did.
Yeah.
That's what California did. And it was wrong.
I think he tried to find the right line. Everybody can disagree with that, where that line is. But over at the end of the day, more people died than anywhere else. That's a problem.
In Arizona.
But we did come out of it now looking better.
And it's still here. And we've got...
It's not going away.
No. In many counties here in Arizona, it's pretty high. But again, you got to go and live your life. So this new study talks about how people are stressed today compared to 2020 when the pandemic hit. All right, up next time you go to a concert, are you going to be lectured about abortion?
Oh.
Stick around.
No.